God is good. God is great.
Amen.
We're going to look at the eighth chapter of Hebrews. Eighth chapter of Hebrews. Remember, there's two things. Jesus is king, and he was born a king. They even worshipped him as king. But in order to be a good king, a just king, a righteous king, you have to, first of all, be a savior, a shepherd. You have to be what our leaders often are not. Most of our political leaders today, whether they call themselves presidents or kings or emperors or whatever, most of our rulers are not servant rulers. Most of our pastors are not servant rulers. Now, a servant ruler just doesn't mean you're kind of humble looking. It actually means everything you do is for the good of those you do it for. Everything you do is to sacrifice yourself and not have a self. I'm not allowed to be a self. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me not to be me, because I was a lousy me when I was me. And most of you are still lousy yous. You really are. You're hard to live with. You're too much. But when you become a servant or a trustee and you have a God that loves you, who's a savior before he's a king. Now, saviors operate in mercy. And they don't put any law on you. So saviors don't care that you break the law. Saviors do not care that you sin. How many know a few of you have sinned even this morning before you got here?
Amen.
I want to say a show of hands. How many know that even before you got here, you already were thinking only of yourself? You weren't thinking of others. You weren't thinking of God. You weren't worshiping God. You were just thinking nastily of yourself. It's okay. Saviors don't mind that at all. However, lords give commands. They're not merciful like saviors. A lord actually gives commands. But the way that Jesus does it, because he starts out as savior, he's a priest first, sheds his blood first, and without any conditions, loves you unconditionally. Because of that, when he rules, he gives you his power. So his commandments are not burdensome. It's not hard to follow the Lord. It's not hard to be not yourself. It's easy. Why? Because he loves you. He's taken care of everything you ever would have taken care of. Indeed, you never could have taken care of yourself. You are neither smart, nor strong, nor good. I want you to say that. I'm not smart. I'm not strong. I'm definitely not good. And if anyone knows you, they could say amen. Because you're not really as smart as you think you are. And you're really not as capable and as strong as you think you are. It's actually God that through his mercy allows you to pretend those things. Because he doesn't have any rules. When you're a savior, there are no rules. There's no law. There's no Moses. There's no law written on your heart. Because the law written on your heart condemns you. The law written on your heart says, don't do bad, do good. But God doesn't hold you to that when he first of all presents himself before he's a king, before he's the Lord, presents himself as a savior that says, I love you no matter what. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. I'll pay. That is great. So Jesus has two sides to him like Melchizedek. Remember the previous chapter we talked about Melchizedek. In the Hebrew, Melka or Melech is king. But Tzedek or Tzadik is righteous. So he's not just a king. He's a true king, a righteous king, a holy king, God's kind of king. That is the way that God rules. And he doesn't want us to believe just that he's that way. He wants us actually to follow in his footsteps. Now, you don't follow him as the lamb that was slain. You're not going to be slain. You follow him as the Lord, who's your king, and you surrender. I surrender all. That's one of the first things you do when someone greater than you, smarter, stronger, better, when someone greater than you comes along, you bow. You surrender. Hey, no contest. And We do it because Jesus basically has said, like what happened in the desert storm when a lot of the fighters realized the Americans were winning, they just jumped out of their holes and surrendered and immediately got cigarettes. It's like, hey, let's not go back to Saddam. He'll shoot us for losing. Let's just surrender to the Americans. They're neat. And as Saddam found out when he was in that hole, remember when he was down that hole? And they took this photograph right away. He opened his mouth up and showed his teeth. He said, "Do you guys have good dentists?" That's the way to surrender to the Americans. Why? Because they're stupid. They'll let you, forgive you maybe, let you off the hook. Well, of course, Saddam had to pay. But normally, to surrender to the Americans. In fact, if I were a country, the first thing I do is declare war on America, lose, and then they build my country. That's the way to do it. You all see that is? We learned all that from Jesus. We didn't learn that from, some pharaoh in the Middle Kingdom or in the Old Kingdom or even in the New Kingdom. We didn't learn that from the pharaohs. We didn't learn that from the Hittites or any other kings and rulers. We didn't learn from King Henry VIII or his daughter Elizabeth. We didn't learn mercy from the kings and rulers of this world. We can't even learn it through our own presidents and whatnot. Good Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't make any difference. They all unjustly enrich themselves at our expense. They don't mind. It's the whole 20th century now. The whole 21st century is going to be where they pretend like they're protecting your liberties when they're taking them all away. It doesn't bother me. I have a Jesus. I would be just like them. If you made me president tomorrow, I'd probably be 10 times worse. Because that's the way I am. Apart from him, we can do nothing. You would not be a good ruler. The minute we give you a little power, you'll corrupt. The minute we put money in your hand, you'll make a foolish decision. Did you know that? Did you know why you have so many problems? It's because if you didn't, you'd just sin, egregiously. So it's good to be in trouble. You know that when you suffer, when you're in trouble, you tend to feel sorry for yourself and, try to get close to Jesus and whatever and work it out. Because if everything went your way, you'd be a monster. You'd be a monster. Thank God you aren't empowered. Until Jesus breaks you and busts you. Until you surrender to him and say, "Jesus, I know I'm no good. I know I'm no good. I'd be a lousy wife, a lousy husband, a lousy friend. Because I'd be out for myself." It takes Jesus, not the Savior, but Jesus as King, to command you and break you. How many know you need to be broken? You need to be busted. Because you're too full of yourself. You're too full of yourself. Woo! Anybody that knows you could verify that. That you still think you're smart. You still think you're strong. You're capable. You still think you're good. I mean, there are times you look down on other people and you think to yourself, "God, thank God I'm not like her. God, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him?" You ever thought that? I mean, you didn't say it out loud. You just thought that as you were sitting in the airport watching people walk by. "Yeah, how could she wear that? What is wrong with him? He needs to lose 30 pounds. Boy, I'd hate to be his dog." And you're just sitting in the airport, but you can judge everybody that's walking by. Does anybody have that gift? I don't know, I have that gift. I can just sit there without any knowledge of who they are, and I'm just judging every single person that walks by. Man, I wouldn't wear one of those. Look at the way he walks. And I am so quick. I'm gifted, I guess. I'm quick at judging people without any knowledge at all. Do y'all have fun? Look, Jesus forgives you for all that. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus has no laws. He's not a rule giver. As Savior, he unconditionally loves you. As King, he wants you to submit to him, obey him, and follow him. But he gives you all the power. He does it for you. He not only does it in you, he does it for you. And then he does it through you. So to God be the glory. If you ever did anything good, it wouldn't be you, it'd be Jesus. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died and gave himself for me. One time the disciple said, show us the Father. Now Jesus is not the Father. There's not two gods here. Jesus is not the Father, but he is God. And he said, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whatever I do, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. That's what the Father did. I'm not saying I did it and then he approved of it. I'm saying he did it up in heaven and I copied him down here. Because Jesus is the image, the exact image, the perfect image of the living God. And so he's not just like a copy, like some earthly king or earthly pastor or earthly father. No, he's actually God's very, he's just as much God as the Father. Just happens to be called the Son. But he wasn't born up in heaven. He always was. He's always been alive, forever and ever and ever. Holy Spirit, same thing. Now, Jesus is the icon, that's the Greek word, icon. He's the icon of the Father, the real thing. He's not like a copy of the real thing. He's not like a shadow or a type or a pattern. He's the thing himself. Jesus is God. That's why he is Son of God. And as Son of God, of course, he is both priest of God and king. First of all, he has to be the priest. Because if he were your king, you'd be in deep trouble. You'd be in deep trouble. Amen. Try not to be late next time. It's a good thing Jesus is a Savior. He's a forgiving, loving, kind Savior. So I better preach on Savior. Amen. Now, God is good. All right, let's read, let's read Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Now, always bring your Bible. If you don't bring your Bible, you go to hell. Always bring your Bible. All right, chapter 8. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. It actually, the Greek word there is kephale. This is the head. This is the heading. This is the title over the whole business. Of everything we've been talking about, here it is. I'm going to sum it up in one title, in a few words, in just a couple of words. I'm going to say the whole thing. Here it is. For which we have spoken, this is the sum or the title. We have such a high priest who is set. Now, Jesus didn't sit himself. He is set. The Father sets him. On the right hand, dexia, on the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, he's on a throne. He's sitting on a throne, and he sits down on this throne. But God sits him down, says, sit down. So Jesus, having finished as Savior, now becomes Lord. And he is sitting on the right hand of God. So here's God the Father, and Jesus is sitting at his right hand. Good job. You did a good job. You saved all those people in Dallas. Good job. That's it. There it is. You see how wonderful Jesus is. He's a Savior. So he sits down. The minute he sits down, this is his coronation. Puts a little crown on his head. This is not just that he's going to be king. He now takes his glory back, and now he is a glorious king. So he is a priest king. Priest when he was on the earth, king when he went to heaven and rose from the dead to be our Lord as well as our Savior. So now you have the most perfect, powerful, wonderful, wise, kind, merciful priest king. You cannot fail. There's no way you can please him on your own, and there's no way you can fail to please him because he chose to be pleased with you the minute he created you. The minute he created you, he's pleased. He doesn't want any sinner to perish. Now, listen, this is literal. Doesn't want Pharaoh to perish. Doesn't want Adolf Hitler to perish. He doesn't want anybody, but they can choose because he won't force. They can choose to perish. But you have to choose to perish because he chose you in Christ Jesus to live forever. Now, so when someone goes to hell, it wasn't God that sent them there. It was they themselves by saying, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Well, I've always been kind of afraid of God. Okay, that's your decision. But you didn't base that on anything real. You didn't base that on the Word. You didn't base that on the Bible. Well, I've always thought of God as kind of mean. Well, I know, but you didn't base it on the Bible. That's your own idea. Well, I read some passages in there that made me think that. And my mother raised me to think that if I did wrong, she'd spank me and so on and so forth. I really don't care. That's all nonsense. The point is, the Bible is greater than your feelings. The Bible is greater than your brains. The Bible is greater than your desires. So don't tell me what you think, what you feel, what you want, what you imagine, how it appears to you. Nobody cares. You're not that important. You know what? It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. If He wants to, He can show mercy to anybody He wants to, including sinners that not only hate Him, but kill His boy. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That puts us all in the same boat. Amen? Now, why do I say that? Because I think most of you are following, tracking what I'm saying. But there's a few of you that are still stuck under the law. You're legalists. You think you are good, or you should be good, or you ought to be good, or you're trying to be good. That is dumb. That is evil. That is vain. Why? Because Jesus has done it all. His life was your life. When He was good, that was for you. When He obeyed the Father, that was for you. When He never did anything wrong, that was for you. Everything Jesus did was for you. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you can get a hold of that, but you don't have a life. Your life will never make it. You at your best. Man in his best state. Altogether, nothing. I mean nothing. I mean not a thing. Vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I don't know if you've come to that point in your life. That was the turning point of my life. When the living God, I was not a Christian. I did not believe in God. I did not believe in voices. I did not believe in, you know, a real God. I was at Yale. I was, you know, going to the top. I wanted to be the top of the top of the top. I didn't want anyone to be ahead of me. And I was getting degree after degree after degree, all earned. Just doing it the way you're supposed to. In fact, I did them two at a time. And I was going to have more degrees than anybody in the world. And all of a sudden, God came to Yale. And He spoke through the window. I didn't even know He had a ladder. I didn't know anything about God. I mean, I knew about Him, but I didn't believe in Him. I just believed in me. Totally, totally for me. Totally selfish, and I loved it. I had no guilt. Zero, 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 zero. Now, most of you grew up in church, or you grew up in some kind of a religious, moral society. I did not. I had no religion, no morals. None. Zero. I didn't feel guilty, but that day, God came and spoke to me and said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's what He said. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to you, but it meant a lot to me. It's like, whoa, what do you mean? I'm going to the top. I'm here at Yale. Come on. I could be president of the United States, like other Yaleys. Did you know George Bush went to Yale? And Obama went to Harvard and so on. I had a scholarship to Harvard. I could go to Harvard or Yale. Or I could go four, five, six places, Heidelberg. I had scholarships everywhere. But the living God came down and said, you're stupid. And here I was at the head of my class. I was the top of the top of the top. La creme de la creme. And then He came along and said, oh, by the way, vanity of vanities, all's vanity. That ruined my life. That was it. That ruined my life. I don't know if any of you have ever had a personal, I didn't even believe in God, didn't believe there was a God. And yet He came, got on His ladder, climbed to the second story, looked in the window and said, Jim, it's me. And He spoke out loud. I didn't believe in voices, but I heard it. Nobody else heard it in the room. That changed my life. I knew from that moment, not in my head, I didn't have head knowledge. I knew in my heart, in my being. I didn't even know I had a heart. And I knew that day, I have to find out if God's true or not. I don't believe in God. I just heard a voice, but I know I have to find out now. I have to ruin my whole educational schema. Stop everything I'm doing, find out if God is real. And that's stupid, especially at Yale. Because nobody, no professor, no students believed in God. Even though we were all in seminary learning about God, no one actually believed he was real. In fact, that year was the very year, 1963, that Kennedy was killed, and that blew me away. They could kill the president. Maybe I don't know what's going on in this world, because I'm kind of thinking I'm going to the top. Man, you go to the top, they shoot you. I thought, what kind of a world is this? And they don't even know who did it. And some say this guy and some say this guy and so on. But obviously, we don't know if it's the CIA or the Mafia or, you know, Oswald. We don't know who it is. And so, and there's still stories here in Texas that float about that, you know, you can go to little towns around here and they say, you know, this is the true story and this is the true story. And it was LBJ that did it and so on. They have all these stories. Incredible. But one thing I learned right there is, whoa, I better stop because I don't know what I'm doing. And then it wasn't long after that. That was in November, late November. This was, let's say, early February or something. Snow was on the ground. I had to go outside and sit down. Like, whoa, in the snow. What am I doing? Is there a God or not? Just because I heard a voice doesn't mean zip to me because I could just be crazy or something. How many know that people who hear voices are crazy? I didn't believe in people that heard voices, but I just heard one. And nobody else heard it because I looked around. You know, nobody heard that voice except me. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. How many know that God is personal? Personal. It comes to you personally and breaks you down, especially if you're arrogant and proud. Demolished me. Then to finish me off, he gave me Peggy. She's not here today because she's always criticizing. So I told her to stay home. No, Peggy's the best. She's the best. I love it. Don't you love it? I mean, you know what? You know why she's home? She doesn't want me to tell you this, but she'll hear this tape. Sorry, Peg. She wants to know if God, the same God that spoke to me, would speak to her like that. That's why she's home. She doesn't want anyone to know about it. She's like, I don't want to just be a name Christian. I want to have that personal relationship like Jim got it. I said, well, Peg, I must be special. I must be important. Because the living God spoke to me. Turned my life around. I still finished my degrees. Get some more degrees. But I no longer believed in brains. I no longer believed that God was not real. I now believed I had to get to know him personally, not just some voice in the sky. So how do you do that? You read the Bible. I don't want to go out in the woods and hear him there. I don't want to hear a voice climb through the window stuff. I don't want that. I want to see it in the Bible. How many know the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy? The Bible itself is the word of God, and God exalts his word above his name. So I had to find out, well, what's the word say? I'm not doing it personally. It wasn't a personal thing like I'm doing it to become a Christian. I was not wanting to become a Christian. I just wanted to know, what's the offer? What's the guy saying? I had a Jesuit priest as one of my closest friends at Yale, probably my closest. And he had 5 degrees, so he and I were in a contest. And I was going to try to get, you know, as many as I could before he got another one. Because he was bound and determined to have more degrees than me. And so I wanted to find out. I just wanted to find out, what's a Christian? You know, I don't even have a background. It's nothing personal to me. I'm a Westerner, so I guess I believe in Jesus. But I knew I didn't. I knew I had no personal relationship to him. Until that day, I got a conscience for the first time, and I realized there's right and there's wrong, and you better find out if God is the one that's right. And you may not be a believer, but you at least need to find out what's his deal. What's he say? So I began to read the Bible objectively, not subjectively. I wasn't reading it to become, oh, I hope I can become a Christian. I didn't want to be a Christian. I wanted to sin. You all understand that? Is there anybody here? Because I'm going to tell you something. You're all like me. But I was openly like me. I mean, I was me. And I didn't want to have a Christian. Every Christian I knew was a hypocrite. And I wasn't at Yale, which was a seminary. I wasn't at Yale to become a pastor. I was at Yale to draw bulletin covers for churches so I could make money. That's all. I just wanted to take advantage of Christians who were simple. Christians are gullible. And they like artwork on their little bulletins. And so that's all I want to do is, hey, I could make, in those days, in the 60s, early 60s, $60,000. I knew this guy. He made $60,000 a year just drawing pictures every Sunday morning. That was cool. I thought, I want that job. And, you know, most people made $3,000 or $4,000. The blue collar work, my dad, he only made $4,000. So here's a guy making 60, 15 times my dad. And that's it. I want to go to college and learn everything, be the first guy in my family to amount to a hill of beans. And here I am, a hill of beans. I made it. Praise God. Yoo-hoo! Glory to God. Now listen to this. This is great. So this Jesus, who's our high priest, is now set down on the throne of glory as the priest who is now the king. A priest king. A king who is also a priest. A righteous, good, true king. Not like the kings of this world. And that was the furthest thing from my mind, was to be a Christian. Or definitely only losers at Yale, only losers became pastors. I mean, there were a few that wanted to be pastors, but they were losers. They were the dull ones. They were, you know, couldn't do anything else, people. I was talented. I was brilliant. I was the top of the top of the top. And I knew I'm not going to be a pastor. God, what a waste of time. I want to be the president or the king or the emperor. I would like to be emperor. I want to be the richest, smartest, handsomest, greatest. How many know that we can be stupid? That was me. But I was serious about it. And here I was making my way up the ladder, up the pyramid. I was moving right up. I'd be up with the Masons pretty soon. I'd be among the Illuminati. I'd be among the rulers of this world. And because I had no conscience and no morals and no nothing, I didn't care how I got there. I didn't care who I stole from, lied to, killed. I didn't care. I just wanted to go to the top. Can you imagine anyone like that? Usually you don't find people like me in church. But here I am. Because God ruined me. Remember, he came to the window. Jim, what are you doing? I don't know. I just want to be God. I'm God. So that was a challenge right there. This guy is trying to be God when I'm God. He wants to run my life when I want to run my life. Is there anybody here still like that? You want to run your own life. Go to bed when you want. Eat what you want. Sleep what you want. Say what you want. Feel what you want. You don't want to submit everything to Jesus. You don't want to do what he says. You are wicked people. Now let me see a show of hands of those that are wicked. I love that. I love that. That's good. The rest of you are liars and you're going straight to hell. At least if you admit you're wicked, you're halfway to heaven. By the way, did you know that Jesus only came for sinners? You have to be wicked and sinful and know it and confess it and humble yourself enough to say, I'm no good. I had no problem doing that. I always knew I was no good. I deliberately did whatever I did, I knew it was not right. Cheated, stole, lied, conned, did everything. Oh, just to go to the top. Because I knew it wasn't going to be handed to me. No one was going to give me anything. I didn't want them to, by the way. I didn't want them to. I wanted to do it all by myself. Do y'all understand me? You're just like me. You just suppress it. You just hide it. You're as ambitious as I was. It's just you thought you couldn't make it, whereas I thought I could. Because I didn't care. I had no care whatsoever. I didn't care if I lived or died. I had no morals. I had no kindness in me. I was cold. I had no warmth in me. I didn't care if somebody would drop dead in front of me. It would not mean anything to me. It's like, move out of the way. I got to move. And so you have to imagine a mafia-raised boy who has no fathers. They're all over the map. Your mother is always off to work or messing around or whatever. My grandmother didn't want me to live. You know, it's nothing. I wasn't mad at that. I didn't even care about that. I just wanted to survive. How many know it's a world out there? It's a jungle. In Chicago, where I'm from, Obama's hometown, in Chicago, it's dog eat dog. If you, the little dog, don't eat up the big dog will eat up you. So you have to equalize yourself out. You have to figure out a way as a little dog how to eat up the big dogs. Because I wasn't born a big dog. I wasn't born with anything going for me. We were poverty stricken. We lived no plumbing. We lived in dirt. We lived in filth. Now, it didn't bother me because everybody in my neighborhood lived like I lived. Everybody. The neighbor next door didn't even have a floor. We were above her. She just had dirt. I mean, you can go in her house and there's nothing there but dirt. Other than that was cool. That was cool. And the Shilcheskis were next door and Krizaks were over here. We had Polish people and Czechoslovakians, Russians. I love this neighborhood. It was a great neighborhood, but all my friends either are dead, they got shot or something or other, or they're in prison. So none of those people that grew up in my neighborhood are alive today. They're all dead. Isn't that amazing? Or they're in prison. Maybe they got out by now, because sometimes they let you out at 70 or 80. So a few of them could have gotten out. But, you know, I don't know about Krizak. I don't know about, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. I have no idea what happened to them. But others I do. Bruce Scott, he lived across the way. He was in a car accident and killed himself and five others. You know, this is the way you lived in those days. Didn't bother me. I just wanted to make sure I stayed alive. Now, Jesus, who sits down at the right hand of majesty, is a minister of the sanctuary. A minister of the sanctuary. This is in his role as Son of God. The religious side of him. This is not the king side, left. It's the religious side, right. And so God had appointed him to be the minister of the sanctuary. That doesn't mean all people. That means just of the good people. That is the saved people. That is the redeemed people. That is the evil people that admitted they were evil, but he was good, and so he accepted them. Because how many know he reckons you as righteous because you admit you're evil, and he reckons you as righteous if you believe he's good. And he's good to forgive you. That's amazing. I'm not good, but if I believe God is good to someone who's not good, and that he reserved the right for himself not to treat me under the law and die, but to treat me under the gospel and live. And I believe that. And because I believe that, I didn't make myself believe it. I just heard it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the rhema, by the living word of God, came alive to me. One day I didn't believe, one day I didn't believe, one day I didn't believe, one day I believed. I can't explain it. I don't really care about it. I'm not an analyst of all those things. I don't care about psychology, philosophy, and all that. I have degrees in it. I don't care about it. I only know one thing. This word is true. I found the truth. I was not looking for happiness. I knew how to get that. I was looking for truth. Most of you who are not growing are looking for happiness. You'll never find it. You're never going to find personal happiness. Even if you find it in a bottle of beer, or in a new mate, or in a new job, or whatever, it'll only last a few hours. It won't last. You cannot get happiness in this world. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Isn't that amazing? Now, could I hear an amen from the Baptists? Must be a lot of Baptists here. Praise God. Praise God for the Baptists. So, you know, you are wicked beyond Now, this is not your idea. No psychologist would ever come up with this. Psychology is nothing more than an excuse. Psychology just excuses you. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, you poor victim. Oh, it was a dysfunctional country you lived in. That's Obama. Obama believes that the country's wicked, and particularly the Republicans. That's just stupid. And he believes that he and his people are all victims. That's stupid. That's completely stupid. Everybody's equally wicked. Equal. And the fact that we catch him someday in a lie, it's nothing. We're all liars. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Well, anyway, Jesus is the minister of the sanctuary of all of those sinners who repented, changed their mind, believed that God was good. Jesus is the minister of that sanctuary. But he sits down on the right hand of God as a king. Even though he's a minister of the sanctuary, that's the group he saved, he's also king over everybody. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all creation. Everything that God has, he put it in Jesus' care. And someday when you're judged, you won't be judged by the Father. You'll be judged by the Son. All judgment he has given to the Son. And so it's the Son who loves me that's going to judge me. And you know what he's going to say? Hey, Jim, it's you. We're going to get married in a few minutes. Go to my right. That is amazing. It's just because he likes me. Because I'm not into performance, I failed there. I'm into relationship. I succeed there. Because he first loved me. We didn't love him. He first loved us. That's the only reason now I'm a lover. Why am I a lover? I'm not. But it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. Do you believe that? I do. I don't care if you do or not. You can do what you want. Everybody can do what they want. You can play lukewarm, middle ground, not hot, not cold. I was cold, then I became hot. I never was lukewarm. I've never been lukewarm. From the minute I met him, I fell in love. Total. 100%. Then that changed my life with my mother, with my wife, with my neighbors, with my enemies. It changed the whole world. I'm no longer me. I'm a new me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Could I hear an amen? That's powerful. Let's have somebody stand up and say, that's me too, Pastor. That's you? Praise God. Somebody else. That's you? You're in love with Jesus? Praise God. Who else? Yeah? 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 Woohoo! Woohoo! Hey, that's exciting. That's exciting. What about the rest of you? Lukewarm? He's going to spew you out of his mouth. I'll tell you, he hates them. He would rather you be cold and hate his guts rather than say you're a Christian and not be totally in love with him. You know, trying to do a little bit in this world and a little bit with the kingdom. He wants you to be all or nothing. All or nothing. Either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So, you know, and I knew that. I knew, if I ever become a Christian, it'll kill me. It did. It did. And when I got killed and then rose again, best thing I ever did. But I didn't do it. That was totally him. And the minute I got up, I went, wow, I should have done this a long time ago. And when I fell in love with my wife, I should have done this a long time ago. Fell in love with my mom, should have done this a long time ago. You know, when I began to love my enemies, I realized I should have done this a long time ago. I don't have any enemies. I mean, they're my enemies, but I'm not theirs. They hate me without a cause. Because I don't have any ill will toward anybody. I don't want anybody's money. I don't want your job. I don't want your offerings. I don't want anything. Why? I got everything. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Woo! That is pretty good. I'm telling you, do I believe that? Yeah. Do I have to? No, of course not. I just do. It's anything's written in the book, I believe it. Is it written in? Oh, yeah, yeah. Look at this right here. I love to read this. It's a letter that says, Dear Jim, I love you. Read the small print. I'm reading it. I'm devouring it. You know, I eat this word night and day. Why? Because it just tells me how great God is and how much he loves me. I tell you, did you all read this book? This is the greatest book on the face of the earth. All other books are nothing. They're nothing. I don't even care if they even talk about Jesus. This is the only book of truth. Because even if they say something nice, I mean, I'm going to write some books someday, but they won't be worth anything. This is the book that counts. This is the only book that counts. And the only reason to write a book is to point away from the book to another book, that one, right there. Because he exalts his word above his name. You don't know who God is. Nobody here has ever seen God. You've never seen God. You've never met God. He came to you, but he wrote that down in the book, and you just have to believe it. You say, that's not fair. Pastor, I don't know if my feelings agree with that. Of course they don't. Well, I don't know if my mind can get a hold of it. Of course it can't. Well, I don't know if I only desire the kingdom of God. I might want a little for myself. Of course, you'll always be that way. Your flesh is not going to become a Christian. The only thing good about your flesh is death. The wages of sin is death. Amen? So we're out to kill you, Hugo. You're not going to survive. You're not going to survive. There'll be nothing left of you. When you go back home, people are going to say, what happened to you? You're not the same boy that left here. His family won't recognize him. Now, he's actually pretty smart, though. He's sending tapes down there. Listen to this idiot guy up in Dallas. And his family's all listening because they, you know, you're the oldest, right?
Next one.
Okay. Well, anyway, they're listening for whatever reason. So all of Mexico will soon be saved through Hugo. And that's powerful. Why? Because he's in love with Jesus. He was a Catholic before, just, you know, going through the rituals, believing whatever and so on, and then being naughty. How many know that Catholics are naughty? It's okay. We're all naughty. But they believe you can actually be good. How dumb can you be? That's stupid. You can't be good. Nature and grace. You have kind of a natural goodness, and then grace kind of finishes it off. No way. You have nothing good in you. Nothing. Jesus is your entire life, finished, his birth, his death, that's you. Or he's nothing. He isn't just helping you out. Like, well, you have a little bit of goodness, I think I could work with you. Uh-uh. He doesn't want people that are easy to work with. He wants you. That was a joke. He doesn't want people that are easy to work with. He wants you. People that are difficult. People that are troublous. People that hate him. People that want to kill him. That's what he wants. And when you become... He only saves sinners. He did not come to save the righteous. There aren't any. So he didn't come to save liars. If somebody says, well, I'm better than so-and-so, you're a liar. And it isn't just that they fooled you. It's that you wanted to be fooled. Well, no, they kind of tricked me. No, they didn't. It doesn't matter if they tried to trick you or not. You fell for it because you deliberately wanted to think God was evil or that he wanted you to bear a burden. Jesus bore your burdens. Jesus paid the debt. He doesn't want you to bear a burden. He wants you just to relax, to rejoice, to be happy every single day of every moment of your life. Woo! Is there anybody here like me? Totally happy all the time. Even when I'm sleeping at night, I have a smile on my face. Why? Because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you have a simple faith like I do? I'm not a stupid person. I have all the smarts. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. The only thing is this book, right here. This is the truth. This is the truth. I was like Moses. He could have inherited and become the Pharaoh of the world. He could have been number one emperor of the world. Instead, he chose to suffer with the children of God. Lost it all. Just threw it away. It's exactly what I've done. Throw away all your Yale and all your nonsense and all your ambitions and all your dreams. Everything. I'm content now to die today or to live today. Whatever God wants. Now someone should say, hey, that's me too, Pastor. Will, is that you? Are you ready to live or die today? Whatever Jesus wants? Amen. It's good. It's good. There are other people that want you dead too. But praise God, you want to live. But the only reason you want to live is because God wants you to live. You don't have a life of your own. You don't have anything to accomplish. You have nothing to gain. Nobody needs you. You're not necessary. Now, you might think you are. You might even talk to yourself, God, hey, keep me alive for this baby. Keep me alive for my family. Keep me alive for my children. But you know what? God doesn't need you to be alive. You're only there by the grace of God. And the reason that you will finish your course is because you have a good God who actually wants you to live. He has an investment in you. You're one of his investments. But you first of all have to totally surrender to him before you make your investment, no strings attached. Then let him place you where he wants. Amen? So if I drop dead today, please don't mourn. Don't even be sad for an hour and a half. Just go straight to the cookies after the funeral. Hey, have you got any cookies here? You know, because Pastor Jim is not worth it. He's nothing. He's a piece of nothing. But Jesus, he's everything. And the only thing good about me is the transparency of showing Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. Woo! So I say, well, preach the Bible, Pastor. I am. I'm also preaching about me. Why? Because I believe this thing. This is part of me. It's personal. I'm sorry. It's not an impersonal, objective thing. It's personal. At one time, it was objective. Now that I'm a Christian, personal. It's a personal love affair between the Lord and myself. I'm happy. I'm in love. I'm beloved of God. I can still sin. God will forgive me. I don't try to sin. I just do it without thinking. I'm thoughtless. But you know what? God has covered me and said the law will never apply to you. Because I'm not just your Savior who will forgive you. I'm also your Lord that will make you like unto me. You'll be in the same image like I'm in the image of the Father. You also will have that same image in you. You will be in the image and likeness of Jesus, of God. Woo! That's powerful. Now, he's a minister of the sanctuary, verse 2, and of the true tabernacle, the true tent. Tabernacle is skene in the Greek, which means tent. There's another word for temple. That's not this word. Naos is temple. Which the Lord pitched and not man. So God has a tent up in heaven. Isn't that amazing? How many know that he has a little tent in his backyard? A little tent in his backyard. It's a small little tent. But we can all fit in. There'll only be about 7 of us. It's just a small pup tent up there. No, God has pitched a tent, and if you're part of that tent and you're in Christ, you're in that tent. You're in that tent. So I'm in him. He's in me. I've been born again. I've been born from above. I don't believe I'm natural. When I talk, I'm not me. I'm a new me, a different me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. How about you? You don't have the same address. You don't have the same name anymore. You're named after your Lord. Christian. I don't know, I may have a special name. I don't really care. He'll take care of that. I just know one thing. I belong to him. I don't have a life apart from him. My wife will sometimes look at me and try to examine me. It's, Pig, what are you looking at? I'm just trying to figure out why you're a pastor and you're doing that. Sin? Well, how can you go to heaven? Jesus loves me? And then she says, she used to say, well, I don't think you're a good Christian. But now she says, I want that. I want to be like that. I want to be able to sin. She's never sinned. Did you know that Peggy's only made 3 sins in her life? 1, she broke a window. 2, she said something about some girl. And 3, she married me. Those are the only sins. Those are the only sins. But I have helped her to gain a few more. Now she has sworn. She has, you know, she has done a few more. And she never did like my mother. I'll just say that right now. My mother can be manipulative. And Peggy used to pretend like she was a great Christian, and she'd always have to crank her neck like this for 3 hours, 4 hours, because my mother never took a breath for 3 to 4 hours. I don't know if you ever talked to my mother. She can just keep talking and talking and never say, you know, it never stops. So when we would go over there, I'd always, Mom, just talk to Peggy here. I'd go off and watch TV or something. But Peggy hated it, because she had to look at her to be a Christian, to be kind and nice. So one day she just simply spoke up and said, no. From that moment, my mother was horrified because she thought Peg was wonderful and I was not. Y'all don't see the humor of that. I think that's funny. Here's what happened. My dad said, now, Jim, if I die, I just want to know if you'll take care of mother. And before I could answer, as a good Christian pastor and devoted son, my wife cried out, no! And that was the moment she blew her cool. I mean, she was no longer good. Yeah, that was the beginning of her demise. I didn't tell her to do it. She just did it on her own. But I thought it was funny. I could hardly keep from laughing. Look down. I knew she had blown it. Oh, glory. They no longer idolized her. That's funny. All right. Every high priest is ordained, this is why he's put into his job, to offer gifts and sacrifices. Gifts, dora, sacrifices, thusias. All right, so remember, enthusiastic, that's what that comes from. So he is to sacrifice his life for you, and he is to give you gifts. I love those two things. So he is not only merciful to me to sacrifice himself for me, substitute himself for me. I was supposed to die, he died for me. I wasn't supposed to live, but he gave me that gift. He said, Jim, I want you to live forever. What? What? Yeah, you and me. Just the two of us. Wow. Okay, let's do it. Because my life, I'd already ruined my life. How many know that when you really work hard to be something, you turn out to be nothing? Are you aware of that? If you really try hard to be happy, you'll be miserable. If you try to marry a good husband, you won't find one. The only thing to do is just marry a sinner. Then you'll get one. Did you know that you could pick a sinner as a husband or a wife? Let's say, God, could you give me a sinner, please? I mean, they can be a saint, but one who sins still. Did you all understand what I just said? I ruined your psychological natural theology. But it's the truth. Don't marry perfect people when you're not perfect. Stay on your level. Stay right on your level. You are a saint in your spiritual man, but you're not a saint yet in your soul or in your body. So you can't be happy in this world. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, not in yourself. You can't be happy in this world. So there's no happiness in this world. In the world you have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means Jesus overcame the world for me. So now I've overcome. I'm an overcomer because he overcame. I'm not an overcomer because I overcame. I'm an overcomer because I believe in him who is an overcomer, and he and I are married. We're one. So I'm an overcomer. Do y'all see that? It's just like my wife will go to heaven because of me. No, that's not true. That's not true. She has to go on her own. It's just like I tell her, Peg, I can't be a Christian for you, just like I can't eat for you. I can't eat and say, we already ate, don't worry about it. You can't eat for somebody else. Did you know that? Well, you can't be a Christian for somebody else. So she's got to get it all on her own. And she resents that. Do it for me. I can't. Well, tell me a trick or something. I don't have any. Just read the book and see if you believe in it. How many know that that is so personal, one-on-one? With all your children, you have to have all your children. You have to talk to each one, get them saved, each one. There are no grandparents here. You just have to be a child of God, a child of God, a child of God. Isn't that amazing? So I thank God for my four children and nine grandchildren, all Christians, but they each had to get it on their own. You can't just have a blanket thing. Well, you're in this family, so you're okay. No. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So do y'all have a personal relationship, a love affair with Jesus Christ, where he personally, I mean personally, came to you in some way through reading the book, through the power of the Spirit, and made it clear to you, you are no longer you. You now belong to him. Does everybody have that? I don't want you to go to hell because I didn't tell you that. You can't go to heaven without a personal relationship with Jesus. You got to love him and know him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and everything you've got in you. However, you can just believe that the good work he began in you, he'll complete it. So if you just got started, it's good enough. If you just got in the door, you're okay. So Jesus sat down, and when he sat down, it's over. The minute he sat down to rule, it's over. You see, they killed him, but it didn't work. nobody can kill me. It won't work. Why? Because I'll live forever. Because I'm in the heart of God. And God's eternal. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That means I'll never die. Even if I die, I won't die. I can die biologically. I can die physically. But I can't die spiritually. I'll never taste the second death. You know, in Egypt, they used to have these pharaohs. And they had what they called the opening of the mouth. After the guy died, he became a god. But if you could erase his memory, then his ka, which is his soul, couldn't get out of his mouth. And so every day they had to bring little offerings to him and feed him and whatever. And the priests, of course, ate it. But anyway, they had to take care of it. And if you could break all his statues or erase all of his name everywhere, that's why there are king lists, then he was no longer alive. And that's why they built these big pyramids and all kinds of things with places where you couldn't find their body and so on. But unfortunately, they always put their gold with them. And the thieves thought that was an incentive for them to break in and find every pharaoh they could possibly find. And the only ones that have survived are the ones that were buried in debris from somebody else building one. And that's how we found some of the Tutankhamun and all that stuff. We found them because somebody else overlooked that one for something else. But they would immediately rip the mummies open and grab all the little gold pieces that were buried in the bandages. Do y'all see that? Because they didn't want to lose their eternal life. Because Osiris, who's the first king of Egypt, which is nothing other than Nimrod, Osiris, he was the god of the underworld. And he wanted everyone to be resurrected unto life eternal. But he was mostly interested in the pharaohs. At least that's what the Pharaoh said. So the people had to bring little offerings and sacrifices. But our Jesus, he wants everybody to live, including Pharaoh. He doesn't desire the death of any man. Did you know that Jesus doesn't want anyone to perish? Did you know that he prepaid for everybody? Are you all aware of that? He totally prepaid. Now, I'm not going to get to all these verses, but this is so cool. Jeremiah 31:31 says this. In the last days, which is any day after Daniel, but in the last days, in the very end of time, as you're going from 3,500 to the last 3,500 years, so there's only 7,000 years to history. We're already in the 7,000 year, by the way. We've already started. But in the last days, I will write, not on your heart, the natural law, left hand. I will write on your heart the new law. The law of faith, the perfect law of love. I'll write that on your heart. All you got to do is believe. That's said in the Old Testament. That's not in the New Testament. That's in the Old Testament. And now the New Testament is relating back to that prophecy from Jeremiah, saying that that prophecy, that I will write it on your heart, I know that's written on my heart, not the natural law. The natural law is over now for me. Why? Because it's been fulfilled with the revealed law. But it's not the law of works. It's not the law of Jim. It's not the law of me performing. It's the law of faith in Jesus who performed for me. Somebody performed, but it wasn't me. Somebody did everything right, but it wasn't me. Somebody did a work, but it wasn't me. It was God who did a work for me. Does he have a right? Can he do what he wants to do? If he wants to forgive a sinner, may he? Doesn't he get to make up the rules the way he wants? He can have a law that says, if you sin, you die. That's the left hand. Or he can make up a law that said, if you sin, you die, unless you repent, in which case, you live forever. That's the one I believe in. I believe you have to be a sin-die guy before you can become a faith-live guy. So that's the high priest that is also my king. As high priest, he forgives me. As king, he remakes me, restores me to God's original intention. Now, intention is greater. Intention is greater than the law. What God intended when he created man in the first place, what he intended when he created Adam and all his seed, was that they be holy. But God also had foreknowledge. And he knew that Adam would eat the apple after Eve led him astray. How many know that Adam was innocent? But Eve tempted him. How many know that women do that? Are you all aware of that? Eve was the first one that sinned. She ate the apple and gave it to Adam. Adam, eat this quick. No, I don't want to die. No, no, you look at me. Am I dead? No, eat it. And Adam was so stupid. Now, he wasn't evil, he was just stupid. He ate that. I'm just joking. Adam was as wicked as Eve. Where was his wife and why wasn't he watching out for her? He was a bad husband. But even so, the story is not about, you know, trying to figure it out. The story is this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody sinned, everybody dies. However, God has reserved the right to himself to forgive anybody he wants to. And the only reason he gave the law to Moses, which is written on everybody's heart, the only reason he gave the law is to make sin exceeding sinful, so that then you would cry out to God quicker. Unless you see how wicked you are, how many of you know you are wicked beyond measure? I want to ask that question again. How many know you are wicked beyond measure? Because if you don't know that, you don't need Jesus. If you're just a little bit wicked, you only need a half of Jesus. You only need part of Jesus. You need a toenail or something. You just need a little air put in your tire. You don't need a new car. But in my case, I needed a total car. I had to have everything. Could you put a little air in my tire? You better get out of that car right now. It's about to explode. Get out right now. You need a whole new car. Okay, well, I didn't know that. I just came in for air. But Jesus said, you are more wicked than even you know. Well, I admit I'm pretty bad. Not pretty bad. You are terrible. You are evil. You did everything I didn't want you to do, and you did nothing of what I wanted you to do. What? You're kidding. That's rough on me. Yeah, God's intention under the law of sin and death is that he knew you would sin, so then you'd have to die. Let's say you only did one sin. Have to die. Let's say you only broke one part of the law. You have to die. Let's say you only broke a white lie. Have to die. Did you know that no matter what you do and it's not perfect, that's the rule. That's the law. The law simply says this. Be perfect. Every minute of every second of every day. Or he makes it even more clear. Be exactly like me. All you got to do to get into heaven, be like me. Heaven is for God and those that are just like him. Oh, wow. Pooh. I can't get in. That's right. But the reason he gave that was so that I would give up and I'd surrender and I'd humble myself and say, well, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to go to hell then, apparently. He said, no, I got another deal for you. This is for losers that flunked, that failed, that just pitiful like you. What? Just let you in for free. I took it. Okay, I'll take it. Do y'all see how I cheated? Do y'all see that I was prepared by being a natural liar and cheater. I got in cheap. I got in on bargain day. You mean it's not going to cost me anything? No, I just love you and I want to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amazing. I mean, I had to read that again. Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I sinned. I didn't come for the righteous, only for sinners. Wow. This is cool. I kept reading this thing. This was fascinating to me as a pagan to read this book and realize I'm a Christian. I got to go this way. I got to go with this. And you don't have to pay anything. He paid for you. And because I said that in my heart and then I confessed it with my mouth, I became a Christian. Isn't that amazing? The worst person on the face of the earth. I've never met anyone more evil and wicked than myself, except you, Melissa. Melissa is more wicked than I am, but just barely. We run a close, but anyway. If your husband were here, he would testify. No, you don't have to be good. As a matter of fact, we all are alike. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Don't compare yourself to other people because they're all wicked. That's why I get along with anybody. I'd get along with anybody. If Obama were here, I'd get along with him. I like him. He's from Chicago. We probably went to the same, shoe store, because, that's just wicked. It's nothing. Lying, cheating, stealing, conning people. It's nothing. Nothing. It's no different than Christians who go to church all their life, but they don't fall in love with Jesus. I'm shaking you up because you have to realize not what you think, what you want to think, it's what the Bible says. All have sinned. All will perish. No, not one. There is none righteous. There's none that seeketh after God. Is that not clear? Does that not in English come across? Only God is good. No one else is good but God. That's real clear to me. Just crystal clear. So I'm in. I shouldn't be in. I should be last. But he put me in. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit in the last chair. Because that, remember he had that little parable about that. Don't take the first best seat. Sit in the last chair and then I'll promote you. So I'm going to sit in the last chair. No, I want that's my chair. I'm going to try to get into that one so I can get exalted in front of everybody. There he goes. Did you see what pride I have? Now, thank God I'm saved by grace and faith. Y'all see that? Because I would surely, as I'm standing in line waiting for judgment, pick up a gum wrapper or something. I'm just that type of person by nature. But thank God I will never get caught. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Are you as free and as happy as I am? You have to be a wicked, bad sinner to do that. Why? Because I could never make it. If there were even rule number one, I wouldn't make it. The smallest rule would throw me. If he say, there's only one thing you have to do. In the Old Testament, it says that. One thing, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days, you know, blah, blah. Well, I would fail. Because that's the one thing I wouldn't do. But you know what it means? It actually means what I've just been telling you. The one thing is to seek after God. To dwell in his house. And how do you do it? You don't. He just gives it to you as a free gift. Too powerful. Last verse. Now this Jesus, verse 6, has obtained a more excellent ministry than the high priests of Moses, Jewish high priests. By how so much more? Because he is the mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. Now, the Old Testament, the Greek word is diatheke. The Old Testament word for covenant is, in Hebrew, it's brit, or brita. But in the Greek language, it's diatheke, which means a covenant cut. So you actually cut blood and all this stuff, and then you covenanted. But their covenant was based upon two. God keeping his side, they keeping their side. If you do well, then you'll be blessed. If you do bad, then you'll be cursed. So that's a two-sided covenant, diatheke as a suntheke, which means something is dependent on you. You at least have to believe, or you at least have to repent, or you at least have to do something. No, not true. Our diatheke is you don't do anything, Jesus does it all. And he's already done it. He's not even going to do anything new. He's already done it a long time ago. As a matter of fact, before the foundation of the world, he died. Even though you didn't see the death until thousands of years later, actually 4,000 years later. 4,000 years later, plus 33, he died. But that death had actually taken place before the foundation of the world because there's no time with God. So before the foundation of the world, he died for you. God laid him down right there and said, you'll be the cornerstone upon which everyone will come to me. Everyone needs to line up with this cornerstone. The cornerstone will either crush you or you build your life upon it. And first it crushes you, then you build your life upon it. Because your rocks can't go to the cornerstone. But it's a living stone, thank God, and puts you in by faith. You just get in by faith. I believe that my life is Jesus. I'm in. I've been born again. The minute you identify with Jesus, you're born again. Now, some of you are only going part way. Go all the way. Say right now, I'm going all the way. I'm not going to put my hand to the plow and then turn back. And if I do, I'll repent right away. God, sorry. And if I look in the mirror and then forget what I'm looking like, I'll immediately repent and go back and look again. Oh, sorry. I forgot what I was looking like. Sin is forgiven forever and ever and ever. The only thing is not whether you don't sin or not. The only thing is whether you believe. And once you believe that Jesus Christ is your life, that settles the left hand. Now he needs to settle the right hand, which is he wants now to restore you to God's original intention. His original intention is that you'd be holy as He is holy. So now, listen carefully to the command. Here's the command, left hand. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now listen to it as a promise. You shall not commit adultery. Which do you like better? Thou shalt not commit adultery or else. This one is better. You shall not commit adultery. This one's a promise. This one's a command. Same words. You can take any law and turn it into a gospel. Good news. Through Jesus Christ. Because He kept the law for me. Therefore, I kept the law. So on the gospel side of believing, that's better than the law side of performing. Because I'm not a good performer. And neither are you. There's nobody here that's any better than me. Isn't that amazing? Are you not amazed? You are exactly like me. Isn't that pitiful? That is sad. You are exactly like me, and I'm exactly like you. Wicked, vain, empty, boring, worthless. But Jesus Christ has now given His life for you so that you can live forever. Woo! I wish everyone were like me today, like that. Okay, stand up, somebody, and say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I'm just like you. I'm same as you. Yeah. Same?
Same.
Wow. And you're young.
I know.
Also. Anyone else?
Same if not worse.
Woo! It's good.
Definitely same.
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 It's too powerful. Too glorious. Woo! Same. It's powerful. And this is not a, you know, show off to your neighbor thing. It's just simply learn to say who you are. Why? Because God is so keen on you saying, you know, this Christianity is not just a ritual or something. It's my personal life. I totally believe in that. He sees your heart. He knows what you really believe and don't believe. Some of you are still troubled. You're wrestling. Don't stop. Don't work at this. It's all been done. Take the free gift. Just take it. It's a free gift. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Doesn't want anyone to perish. So, God is good.